Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here. This is Yahweh's Covenant People, and we have two co-hosts tonight. We have, after a long departure, Pastor Greg Howard, who is an actual divinity school graduate and knows Greek and all that good stuff, and Pastor Steve, who's a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks and prison pastor, and Pastor Steve, who knows Hebrew and is translating the Bible directly into English from the Hebrew. So we've got a really sharp crew tonight, and we're going to be discussing a subject called Eretz Israel, which is obviously the false claim that the Jews have made to Eretz Israel, being that territory between the Nile and the Euphrates rivers, which they're trying to take by force. But of course, we know the Jews, since they're not Israelites or Judites, have no legal claim to that whatsoever. But before we get into that, let me just introduce Pastor Greg Howard to you. How have you been doing after all this time, Pastor Greg?
Hey, good, brother. Hanging in there. Just a pilgrim in a strange world. And just sitting back lately, observing how bizarre the world has become in these last days.
Yeah, it pretty sure
crazy.
Has.
Pretty
it
crazy
sure,
out there right yeah. now.
Yeah, we'll probably have some time after our discussion of Eretz Israel to talk about the hate crimes that have been, the anti-white hate crimes that have been taking place in America lately. And those are ramping up. And as far as I'm concerned, Black Lives Matter, everything you do is a hate crime. And fortunately, though, people are beginning to wake up and realizing that this multiculturalism experiment's not working too well. So I'm going to get my e-sword open here. And we're going to go into Genesis 15, 18. Let me get this up real quick here. I have to close some things here. And this is where the Eretz Israel prophecy was made. And Pastor Steve, here, I'll just read it, and then why don't you comment on this real quick, because this is where the prophecy of Eretz Israel is made in Genesis 15, 18. And in the same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, this is before his name was changed to Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And whose seed is this? I don't see the word Jew listed here.
Well, it's, you have to understand, Terach was the father of Abram.
Okay.
He was an Arami. That's an Aramean, mm-hmm. and Yeshua, Messiah, spoke Aramean, and they had made an error in the Bible. What was that? Genesis what?
Genesis 15, 18.
Okay, yeah, that slow computer was slow coming up.
Okay.
He was called out of his father's house because his father was an idol worshiper, okay? And they had changed the words, you shall not adore, abhor an Edomi. Well, that is an error, and it tells you that right in Strong's Concordance.
It does.
It's an Arami, because the Resh and the Daleth are almost identical. They're very subtle difference. Okay. And due to damaged scrolls or time or wear and tear, they mistranslated that.
Yeah.
We are to abhor an Edomi, an Edomite. It says all through the Bible, and if you doubt it, just read the entire book of Obadiah. That's
right.
Obadiah.
Yes. Okay.
We've done many shows on that, and it shows. And Genesis, unto your seed line, which is a more proper translation, not just
right.
seed, it's seed yeah, line.
It's posterity.
Your progeny,
yes. Yes.
Those who follow you of your bloodline. I have given a land from the river of Egypt. Okay.
Yes.
That is on the river of Mitzrayim. In the Hebrew,
the Nile.
Onto the great river, the river Euphrates here, but it is Parath
okay.
in the Hebrew. And all of these people that live in there are going to be subjected to either extermination
Right.
Or put into tribute because the Israelites failed in their commission to kill them all.
Right.
Well, it was the latter. They failed in the commission to kill them all.
Right.
Now, I will go to the first book of Kings, chapter 9, and it gives the lands that Shlomo possessed.
That's Solomon, right?
All through the, that's Solomon. Hazor and Megiddo and Gezer. And Gezer, Beth Koran, the lower, and Baaloth and Tadmor in the wilderness in the land. And all the cities of storage in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and in all the land of his dominion, which was taken from the Emori, the Kitti, the Perizi, the Kiwi, the Yabusi. That's
okay.
The Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Yebusi.
The Jebusites.
The original name of Jerusalem, Jerusalem, was Yebus.
Okay.
Because the Yebusi lived there. They never drove all of them out. They still stayed in there. And later on, they became part of the mixed multitude,
right,
all the way up into the time of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Right. Okay.
Yeshua the Messiah.
All right, let me quote these names. Let me quote these names from verses 19 through 21, and I'll throw a question at Greg. And obviously, the list got shorter by the days of Solomon because some of the tribes dropped out or just got incorporated into other tribes. But there's still all of these tribes. The bloodline of these Canaanite tribes is still existing in the days of Solomon. That's the important thing. Now, verses 19 through 21, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, the Rephaims, which were the giants, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Now, a question for you, Greg. Are any of these tribes listed here, are any of these related to Israel, or are they Israel's enemies?
Yeah, they're absolutely the satanic seed lines and the various branches that had, you know, flourished at this time. That Pastor Steve noted that we failed to destroy these people. These people were meant for killing, and eventually they will be exterminated. It's likely that these bloodlines are still on the earth to some extent. You know, in the Jewish
race. Yeah, they're
called Jews. Yeah. Right. Today we they've consolidated themselves essentially into the group that we call Jews, and whether you want to call them a race, I don't think it's accurate to call them a race. I think they are just a seed line, a bloodline, referenced in Genesis 3:15. They are the seed of the serpent, and they have branched out over the centuries, over the millennia, and they have come to rule this earth pretty well. You know, you have
yes.
to give them credit. They've pretty much taken over the earth in many, many aspects. But yet they're not omnipotent in any way. They're not all-powerful. And one of these days, they're going to be exterminated by us.
That's right.
At the end of this age, we're going to slaughter them, and there won't be a single one of them to survive.
Yes.
And that will be an amazing time on the earth. I believe we're close to that time. Hopefully we are. And yet these, you know, these people at this point were, you know, they had spread out quite a bit. You know, the Kenites being direct descendants of Cain himself. Although, actually, most of, if not all of these people probably could trace their ancestry back to Cain.
Yes.
You know, Cain being the original satanic being on the earth, you know, spawned by the fallen angel. So,
yeah, that's typical two-seed line identity, what all three of us are speaking here. And then, okay, so let's get back to you, Steve. You were going to talk about Solomon some more?
Verse 26.
Okay.
Shlomo is Solomon, okay? But I use the Hebrew pronunciation. I want people to become familiar with our original native language. It is not the language of the Jews.
That's right.
It is the language of Israel.
Okay.
King Shlomo made a fleet of ships in Etzion Geber, which is beside Eilath, on the shore of the Sea of Reeds in the land of Edom. He even had that dominion all the way over back to where they crossed the Sea of Reeds, not the Red Sea. That is a mistranslation. It is the Sea of Reeds. And what Greg was talking about was those that afflict us. Pardon me. Let me read my favorite verse. I'm going to do it again, Eli.
Okay.
I do it all the time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, you being Israel, who afflicts us today with their usury and child pornography and sex slavery and all the rest. Who does
race
that?
War. Yeah.
Can you guess their name?
Well, all those tribes we've been naming are the progenitors of the Jews. Yes.
And to give you who are afflicted, again, that's Israel, that's us, rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Now, they usually translate that angels. And everybody has the churchianity image of the winged creatures that are so benign, and they're loving, and they're warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. These are killers like Sodom and Gomorrah killers.
That's right.
Wake up, people.
That's right.
Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and those who do not obey. Oh, say it ain't so. Obey the good news of our Master Yeshua, Messiah. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. Verse 10, when he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, that's us, Israel, that are believers and followers of the word.
Okay.
And to be admired among all those who believe in that day because our witness to you was believed.
Amen. All right, I'd like to ask Pastor Greg, how much did they quote that passage of the New Testament when you were going to divinity school, Pastor Greg?
Well, the understanding, Eli, was so shallow. You know, of course, they, you know, had a concept of Christ returning to the earth, but, you know, there was no concept of a unique people on the earth that were truly Yahweh's people. You know, the concept was a universal salvation. The concept was that the Jews were the Israelites, that, you know, Christ himself was certainly a Jew, and Moses, all the apostles, all the Old Testament, you know, writers, they were all Jews. We were the Gentiles. And the whole theology was so flawed that, you know, you just couldn't wrap your mind around it because you had to constantly twist the Bible to make it fit that narrative.
And, didn't make sense.
You know, the great revelation to us in Christian identity is who the true Israelites are. It's the white race. I love saying the white race. I'm not ashamed. I conquered my white guilt many years ago. Actually, I never had white guilt. I love being white. I wake up every day and I'm thrilled to be a white man. You know, because the white race is the divine race on this planet. And it's actually clear to see it because we're the most hated race on this planet. And the daily news to me continually validates Christian identity, that we are hated by the rest of the earth. If they could push a button and our race would just vanish off the earth, they'd fight over who got to push the button. I mean, we're just hated. We really have no allies on this earth. And the Jews have inflicted the other races with hatred toward us. You know, they're master manipulators of people. It's what they do. They manipulate. They trick, they fool, they manipulate the minds of these other races, and they turn them against us. They use them as a weapon against us.
Yes.
That's why we can't walk down the street anymore in our own cities without being fear of murdered by a black or raped by a black or carjacked by a black. You know, they've turned these you know, lesser, you know, you call them an animal race if you want. I don't think it's far off the truth. And they've trained them as attack dogs and to feel justified in murdering us and robbing us. because they have it coming.
Yes.
You know, we have it coming to us because we've oppressed all these other races.
Yeah.
So they've been taught.
Right. So the reason we're here at Eurofolk Radio and the reason for the existence of the Christian Identity Movement is to explain to white people the truth of the scriptures and how we've been lied to for the last 2,000 years by the Jews and their false claim to Israel, and how we have forgotten who we are, the white race, especially the Caucasian branch of the white race, which is the 10 lost tribes with a large proportion of the two southern tribes added into it, have literally gotten a case of amnesia and forgotten who we are. But that is changing right now. So, Pastor Steve, so what's your assessment of our race awakening from this state of amnesia?
I am gloriously joyous and watching as they wake up.
Amen.
This thing about the hate crime charge in Chicago
right.
shows that since Trump has been supposedly elected, many of our white people are less afraid to come out and say, hey, we're tired of these niggers killing us.
Right.
And
they don't use the word niggers, but
we're tired of not seeing them charged. Oh, I'm not sorry. I am a racist. I'm unapologetic.
You know, amen,
I'm a former Klan leader. I am a racist.
Can I say nigger too? I just don't want to feel left out.
Don't want to be left out.
I don't want to be left out.
Yeah. All right. Please continue, Steve.
They're tired of the hate crimes against us going uncharged and unpunished.
Yes.
It sounds like animal form. Everyone is equal, but some are more equal than others.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that? They don't teach that. That was required reading in the schools.
Yes, it was.
When I went to school, we were given that book to read.
Yeah, in 1984 also.
1984 also by Orwell.
Yeah, and you had to study the Constitution. That's not required.
Now, we had to recite the Constitution. You had to name the capital of all the states. I got an education when I was coming up.
Yeah.
And it was none of this
gay lib stuff.
Gratuitous diploma. You passed or you failed.
Yeah.
That's it. If you failed, you got stuck back a grade. And everybody picked on you and laughed on you and made you miserable, but you still had to complete that grade satisfactorily.
Yes, yes. Well, here, let me read from this document here that we all have shared. I'm down on page 5, where and this is a Judeo-Christian website. However, they do acknowledge the fact that in the days of Solomon, actually this was in the days of Joshua, where in chapter 23, Joshua and the Israelites take possession of, well, it's called Palestine, but in those days it was called Canaan land, and we were supposed to take possession of it away from these Canaanites, and using that term broadly covering all the tribes that we had just mentioned. And then he goes down in 2 Samuel 2, on page 5, the writer describes how King David went to restore his control along the Euphrates River, the 2 Samuel 8, verses 3 through 4, suggesting that even if only briefly, the kingdom had by then extended this far north. Then, under King Solomon, the boundaries of Israel were consolidated, extending from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. The writer of 1 Kings uses the metaphor of sand on the seashore from Genesis 22:17 to show that he understood the boundaries of Solomon's kingdom to be a fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham, which you just quoted, 1 Kings 4, verses 20 through 21 and verse 24. Now, the reason we're bringing this up, folks, is because the vast majority of Judeo-Christian ministers, and of course the Jews, never tell us about the fact that this was fulfilled, that is, the Eretz Israel prophecy was already fulfilled in the days of David and Solomon. The Israelite people had occupied and had dominion over Eretz Israel already in the days of David and Solomon. So Christians today are under the impression that this was never fulfilled, and it's only being fulfilled today by the Jewish people who have taken control of Palestine, quote-unquote. Pastor Greg, what's your opinion of this? What do you think is really going on?
The Jews have really, it was a masterstroke of deception to try to steal our identity. Deep down, they know they're not the true Israelites. It's just a massive, one of their many schemes that they are constantly doing. And I always go back to Psalm 83 when I think of this. Essentially, this is prophesied that they would try to steal the identity of Yahweh's people. Let me read a few verses from Psalm 83. He says, "Keep not thou silence, O Yahweh. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Yahweh. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation." Let me read that again.
Yeah.
"Let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. They have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom." And then they go on to list all of the satanic seed lines that are involved in this. And then he continues down here, verse 12, "Who said, Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession." They want our blessing. They know they can never get it legitimately. So they have convinced themselves they can steal it. Ultimately, Jews are the greatest thieves the planet has ever seen. Liars, thieves, immoral to the maximum. But the bottom line is they're thieves. They want to steal the blessing that is promised and given to true Israel, which is essentially ruling and reigning on this earth in the coming age. And their thought is if they can't have it in the coming age, I think they want to steal it from us right now. Maybe they can prolong the judgment. Who knows how they really think. But it's prophesied back here. They wanted to steal our blessing, our possessions.
Right. Yes.
They hate us. I always remind myself that we are the most hated people on the earth. They hate us. And they want to kill us.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kill us.
Well, that hatred goes back to Esau. It's an unbridled hatred. How should I put it? They have to mask it by making a straight face in public, but the Jewish hatred of the white race is just unbelievable. It shows in their actions.
It's off the charts. And it was prophesied to be. There shall be enmity between thy seed and her seed. Enmity means an intense hatred. They hate us. The only problem is we've been asleep for so long, we do not have the proper hatred. The righteous hatred toward them. They've got us so twisted around in the head, that we actually think that they're us.
Yeah.
We send them our money. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Right.
We send our money to Jews. We buy little Jewish trinkets thinking we're supporting the Holy Land.
Right.
We invite their rabbis into the churches to poison our minds with their infected filth. I mean, they sit back and laugh and mock at our stupidity, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
and I don't mean us in Christian Identity. We're among the handful that actually is awake and on the walls trying to scream out to wake up, our sleepy, hypnotic NFL-watching brethren.
Right.
It's disturbing to me how excited they get to watch Negroes run up and down a field. But, you try to deal with matters of eternity to them, and their eyes just glazed over, and, who knows where their minds go.
Yeah, while their wives and daughters are being raped out in the streets, right? They're watching football. So
a reminder here, Eli.
Yes.
In the days of King Dawid, not David, they've changed the Vav into a wall, or a wall into a Vav, pardon me. They mispronounced that. It's Dawid with a W.
Right.
Moab and all the other nations around there were also under subjection and were occupied territory and controlled territory of true Israel at that point.
Okay.
Now, when they see Azza in Scripture, That was under Israelites' control, and today it is called Gaza.
Uh-huh.
The Gaza Strip, that was ours. All of that. Lebanon was ours. All of it, that whole area.
Yes.
And these fakers have established a bandit state over there, and they can't even control the little bitty postage stamp instead of the entire territory. They don't control what we once had. They're not Israel. It never did belong to them, and it's not going to belong to them now. They've never had a real king.
Right.
They never had a country. That country is not consolidated over there. Can you say Katusha Rocket? Those
no.
people are throwing rocks at them and shooting at them and shooting rockets at them. And they throw their own people to the wolves. They stick all these guys out in these kibbutzes. And then they get slaughtered. And then, oh, they call, look, we're suffering, such suffering. We're being persecuted. This is anti-Semitism. Look at this.
Yeah.
That's all fake. They want those people to get killed.
Right.
Well, because that gives them legitimacy in the eyes of the press, who are their main stooges.
Right.
That land was never theirs. It's ours, and we were in apostasy and were booted by Yahweh and in dispersion. And
yes.
we're all over now, like the sands of the sea, and all the Israelite nations, all the white nations of the world, including South Africa with the Boer people.
Yes, absolutely.
It's more fakery and deception, and the gullible white people that have been raised in Judeo-Christianity and have been programmed to think that they are the chosen people are deceived.
Right. Yeah, and that Israeli flag that has that star of Rabbi David, not King David, it's the star of Rabbi David, who was a medieval rabbi, and the two blue stripes on either side, I guess it's the bottom and the top of the flag, represents these two rivers. So this is how the Jews claim this territory, Eretz Israel, between the Euphrates and the Nile. So
wasn't that the star of Remphan?
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's traceable back to Solomon, possibly, because Solomon in his old age was a reprobate. He became a reprobate and a worshiper of false
idolater,
gods.
Yes.
Yeah, an idolater, yeah, but David never did. So that cannot be attributed to David. It can't possibly be attributed to Solomon. So, Pastor Greg, so what do you think of the legitimacy of this claim that the Jews have a right to this territory called Eretz Israel, what most people call the Promised Land?
Well, Pastor Steve said it. They're a bandit state. You know, the whole ridiculous thing in 1948 when they, you know, claimed to be returning to the Holy Land and set up a nation, that was one of the great deceptions in the last 100 years. You know, it was a Jewish victory. And, I mean, you know, Hitler prophesied basically in Mein Kampf that if they ever went back to the land and did that, it would just be a criminal headquarters for all the scoundrels of the world. And that's exactly what it's become. And
yes.
The Rothschilds built the infrastructure for them. I mean, it's a criminal state, and it's been nothing but a curse to the world from the day
yes.
it was founded in May of 1948. And it will be a curse until it's ravaged at the return of Yahshua Christ.
Yeah.
It will be destroyed, and the Jews will be wiped out.
It's the
only possible ending for this.
Yeah.
It's all laid out. That's how it's going to happen.
It's
and
a border
we
of
saw
wickedness.
It very clearly in Enoch and in these other books that we studied, the Apocalypse of Baruch in particular, details the destruction of the Jews at the end of the age. Enoch, in particular, has tremendous detail that the Jews are destroyed at the end of this age, and how they try one last scam and try to, talk Yahweh into forgiving them, and it's not
right.
happening.
Well, it's interesting that this article states, and just let me read the relevant portion here. At no point in Jewish history have the Jews ever possessed all of the land from the Euphrates in the north to the river of Egypt in the south. Well, we just read the passages which they acknowledged that the Israelites did indeed possess. So what don't they understand, right? So obviously the Jews not being Israel, if you don't know your scriptures, you could say, well, the Jews never possessed this land, but Israel certainly did. Because right. we just proved it from the verses that Pastor Steve and I have read, okay? But then there was a second time in Acts. Let me just read now Acts chapter 2, verse 7. This is right after the speaking in tongues, and the tongues of fire descended upon the apostles and the Israelites. They were all Israelites gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, because here's the list of people: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Judeans, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. These are all Israelites. Aren't these people... First, to you, Pastor Greg, aren't these people all Israelites of the territory we're talking about here?
Absolutely. They are those that were dispersed and lived in other cultures. They were still Israelites, like I'm an American by nationality, but Israelite by racial heritage. I am a sojourner here. I'm here in dispersion, because my ancestors went into apostasy, and I was raised in apostasy, but Yahweh blessed me and opened my eyes, and I have seen his holy truth. I went to prison because I preached it and had to defend my life.
Yes.
This is how much they hate us. I wasn't a criminal. Self-defense is not unscriptural.
Yeah,
but all of these people that they mentioned here were Israelites from all these lands. These were not racial
aliens,
people from these lands. They were Israelites sojourning in this land that spoke all these other languages, and they assembled for Pentecost. The Holy Spirit drew them in.
Yes, yes.
That's how you come to the Father. No one comes to the Father lest he draw them. There are people Yahweh doesn't want. They're too far gone. But those of us that are drawn have heard the word from someone else. Now it's our turn to pass yes. that word on and let the Holy Spirit do its work and draw more brethren and sistren into the remnant. The remnant is still growing. We're not done yet. The period of grace is not over.
That's
right. But when it is over and it's too late, the period of Yahweh's wrath is going to come. And there is no escaping that.
Yes.
I'm trying to get the fence sitters off the fence.
Right, right. Pastor Greg, do you think it's at all possible that people, non-Israelite people of various different races, let's say Asians, blacks, Mexicans, Latinos, Neanderthals, would have had any interest in the Feast of Pentecost, any knowledge of it, and have any inclination to go to Jerusalem to celebrate it?
Well, brother, that's a good question. They have no part in the covenants of Israel. You know, the law was not created for anyone other than us, our race. And whether they can have some kind of a belief, you know, you can talk about it. The Jews certainly are not. The Jews are Christ-killing, Christ-rejectors, and their fate has been sealed. It's laid out. The other races, to tell you the truth, I go back and forth on them. I certainly don't believe any of them can enter into any of the covenants of Israel.
That's right.
Whether they can have some form of belief in the Yahweh as the creator or not. So, you know, they have their churches. They seem to worship in a particular way. I don't know. But, I mean, tell you the truth, I don't care. I don't care about other races. I don't care about them. I have no concern for them. I just want to be around my own people, my own race, my own kind. Amen. I don't want to see any of my children ever be with anyone of another race in any aspect whatsoever. And nothing boils my blood quicker than seeing one of our women with a man of another race. That makes me absolutely want to go full-blown Phineas priesthood right on the spot.
Right.
Amen. Right.
I go crazy. I can't
racist.
Wait to meet Phineas someday. I want to meet that brother.
Yeah, that's right. We will. That's right.
Yeah, he made his point, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got the point across.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Don't race mix around here.
Right.
This is what happens to race mixers.
And that's going to be coming back, folks. That law will be coming back. You know, the Jews.
Yeah, he spearheaded the movement there.
<Right. laughs> Okay, we're going to have to start handing out demerits pretty soon. We pass out demerits for bad jokes, Greg. We're not quite bad yet, but just as long as don't go into puns. So, yeah, obviously, Yahshua, when he told the Canaanite woman that he cannot give to her the things that belong to the children. I mean, what clearer statement? And then she said, "Truth, Lord, but I'll take crumbs." Right? What better proof is there in Scripture that only Israelites are the children of the covenant?
That's right. That's why, you know, when I see other races not obeying the law, I couldn't care less. The law's not for them. You know?
They can eat all the pork they want.
Exactly, brother. You got it. Blacks eat pork. Chinese eat pork. I couldn't care less. Whites, the law is for us and no one else.
Yeah.
And in the kingdom, the New Jerusalem is going to be the ultimate white enclave. No one will be allowed into the New Jerusalem that is not white.
Amen.
Now, there may be other races outside the gates. We saw that in Enoch, where in the judgment, many from various nations will be subjected to our people in the coming age, and it doesn't delineate what race they are. It's possible there may be some other races. I don't know. But we rule them with a rod of iron if they're there. We can smash them with a rod of iron if they get out of line. They will not be allowed into the New Jerusalem, which will be our very racially pure domain. And there's 12 bouncer angels at the 12 gates. No Negroes are going to be sneaking in there.
I never thought of it that way. That's good. I like that.
Bouncer angel. Man. I can't think. There's a bouncer at each gate. An angel.
Right. Yes.
Good luck sneaking in.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, it gets back to the redemption versus salvation thing, where they try to synonymize them.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be races that are not enemies of Israel, that have not tried to harm us, not all of the race, but perhaps a certain segment of that race.
Yes, I agree.
Has not been our out-and-out enemy, and they even believe on Yahshua as the Messiah. That will not make them Israelites, and will not make them part of the covenant, but that particular non-aggressive, non-harmful group of people will be saved from destruction. They will not have eternal life. They will live their lives as normal creatures, as they are, in subjection to Israel, because Israel means you will rule as El, as divine ones.
Yes.
We all be the administrators of Yahweh's laws under our eternal divine king, Yeshua Messiah. That will be our job. We will take the law to the lawless and enforce it.
Yeah, every knee shall bow.
But they do not get redemption. They do not get the new body that we will get. They will not be able to enter the gates, as the brother just said. That is only for us.
Mm-hmm.
There are 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes. And that's it. And if you read the dimensions of New Jerusalem, it's going to cover millions of miles. It's going to be huge.
Right? Like America,
okay?
Right?
People, well, it's going to be huge.
Okay.
And this land has all the rivers running through it and seas on both sides. It meets all the criteria of what's in Revelations. the land that they call Palestine right now with Israel lie. That does not mean that. We are out of there. It is no longer a fertile land like That's it right. was when we had it.
Right.
It is now a miserable, rock-strewn desert hellhole with rockets flying and bullets flying, and they're stabbing one another. The Orthodox are hating on the Reform. They fight among each other like rabid rats that they are.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
That does not meet any of the criteria for Israel. They've tried to steal the name, but they've tried to steal everything. Like I just said on my show the other night on Wake Up Call, we need to take our heritage back. Just because the Jews have tried to copy it doesn't make it theirs.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, Pastor Greg, isn't it true that it's the Ashkenazim, the Jews who call themselves Ashkenazi, who their ancestors never set foot in ancient Israel or Palestine or the Levant or any of that area, right? They're the ones who initiated the Zionist movement. So
the whole thing is a lie.
Yeah. Yes. It's a complete
100%. The whole thing is a lie, brother. There's not a shred of truth to it. You know, and it goes back to that verse in Psalms. It said, let Jews take to ourselves the houses of Yahweh in possession.
Amen.
They want to steal everything of ours. And look how they follow us from nation to nation. Look at how they've just spread out as our race was dispersed around the world to the various white nations. Mm-hmm. Look how the Jews have followed us. You'd think they'd want to have their own nation. They have to follow
you'd think
us.
So. But they won't leave us alone, right? But, of course, parasites can't live without a host, so that's that, right? So is there
they're vampires.
Yeah.
They're vampires.
Vampires.
So they have to live amongst those on whom they can feed.
Right.
And that's us. And they, even though they hate us, they have to kind of be around us.
Yeah, they can't live without us. Right.
To live out their destiny.
I can't live without you.
Their destiny is really to hate us, to fight against us, to slaughter us, to kill us, to live off of us. They have to follow us.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the curse.
Yeah, it's part of the curse they received in Genesis 3:14 and 15. And so now we're seeing, and one of the reasons we're doing these shows, we're trying to give a warning to the white race that the Jews are orchestrating a race war against us. It's not in the future. It's happening now. It's been happening for decades. I'm just going to let me play a quick clip. That's only about 3 minutes here. This is about the four black teenagers that almost killed a handicapped white boy. And here's how the reporting goes here. They actually reported that these were
new
blacks.
And that very disturbing story we told you about on Thursday, the kidnapping and torture of a teenager in Chicago live streamed on Facebook. NBC's Blake McCoy has the latest on that. Blake, good morning.
Katie, good morning to you. The four suspects from that disturbing video will make their first court appearance behind me later today. This is a bond hearing. Ultimately, they'll face hate crime charges, among others, for this.
Oh, did you hear that? They're going to face.
I'm surprised.
Hate.
I read that the Negro Chicago chief of the police, called it a stupid. He said they were being stupid.
Oh, you're right.
They were being.
Yeah, it's a lot more than stupid. Right.
Incredible.
But this is the first I've heard that blacks have been charged with a hate crime.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah, and I think because it was stupid in the sense that they broadcast it live on Facebook. Right?
Yeah. Well.
And and they were using racial slurs against this white boy and calling him cracker, calling him all kinds of pejoratives. And so it's obvious it's a racially motivated crime. So, Pastor Steve, what about all these other black-on-white crimes? Aren't they racially motivated, too?
Well, they are. Let me pinch my nose here and do my Bob Dylan Jew imitation here.
All right.
Time they are a changing.
Yes, they are.
Oi, oi, oi. Whites are waking up.
Mm-hmm.
Not real quick, but we're having an effect. Us and all the other truther sites. The whites are coming to the internet to get their news instead of the Jews media.
Amen.
They're falling apart. The New York Times, as you have said repeatedly, has had to rent out their floors because they don't have enough sales to occupy all the floors anymore. They're no longer a driving force in New York.
That's right.
They have lost their subscribers.
Yes.
I am watching the countries default on their financial obligations to the Jew bankers.
Yes.
They're going into full panic mode. I'm watching the Jew financial empire crumble by Yahweh's hand. Praise Yahweh.
Yes, amen. Yes. Well, we're trying to wake white people up as fast as we can, but it's one of those situations where actions speak louder than words. We can preach, 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 preach. Most of the time we're preaching to the choir, but we are bringing new people in every day, and there's new websites on the internet every day that are attacking Jews for what they are. So, Pastor Greg, what do you think? Are the Jews really starting to shoot themselves in the foot now in these end times?
Well, it's overwhelming right now. The internet is uncontrollable to them, and it must freak them out that the amount of information that is truthful about them that is available at the touch of a button, because for decades they controlled the flow of information almost 100%. You know, there was a book printed here or there, but, you know, now a million people at one time can go to an alternative news site or can go to a Christian identity site and learn the truth about this Luciferian satanic race and what their real origin is and how every, you know, their entire identity is based on a lie. I remember one of the great revelations to me early on in my Christian identity experience was when I really saw it clearly. Now, keep in mind, I'd come out of a Bible school. I was a Baptist minister. You know, I'd been taught that the Jews were God's chosen people. And I still remember the day I very clearly saw that they were spawned by a fallen angel and that Eve was impregnated and that she gave birth to Cain, and Cain was the first Jew, and that he was a satanic being, and that his seed line spread across the earth, and that the Jews could trace themselves back to Cain. That's why so many of them are named Cain and Cohen.
Yeah, right.
Variation Cain.
Kagan,
they just
right?
they just can't help but Kagan. Name themselves in certain identifying ways. You know, Gold, Silverstein, Joey Diamond. They just love that identification. And I realized there's a race of satanic beings on the earth, and they're Jews. The Jews can never be saved. There's no redemption for them. They're Christ killers. And I saw it. I just saw it. Yahweh let me see it very clearly. And I saw it. I saw that there was a satanic race on the earth, and that now it makes sense why they're at the heart of all the devices of the earth, and drugs and pornography and war. It all made sense to me. I saw it. These are Satan's children on the earth.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, history began to make sense, and the Bible came alive to me when I understood now that the white race are the true Israelites.
That's wonderful.
And the Jews were a satanic race.
And all
the other races were barely even worth a mention. But if you saw those two races, the whole Bible became a new book, and it did.
Yes. And we pray that this awakening happens to all of our white brethren, even those libtards and Judeo-Christians. Unfortunately, I have a feeling they're going to go through a lot more pain and hell before they finally wake up. But we pray for them to wake up. We're not haters. We want to prevent suffering. We want to prevent suffering, especially the suffering of our own people. As far as suffering of the Jews is concerned, we don't care because they deserve tenfold what they've done to us.
Well, a lot of the new converts to CI are libtards that have been raped.
Well, yeah, I can see that, right?
Okay, and thy seed line and the seed line of the woman will have enmity between you, starts right out in Genesis. Everything hinges on Genesis with the first laws that were given, which was each kind unto its kind, where race mixing is specifically forbidden.
That's right.
And the problems in this world have developed because people don't obey that first set of laws in Genesis, where each kind is to be unto its own kind, or species unto its species. And blacks and the others are not our species. Jews are not of our species. We are not to marry out of our species.
That's correct. That's correct. Well, Pastor Greg, is there any evidence that you have seen that this culture of race mixing and multiculturalism has made the world a better place, or that any problems are being solved as a result?
No, Brother, just the opposite. Race mixing is always a disaster, mostly because it brings a white bloodline to a grinding halt. And I don't know anything gets me more riled up than to see one of our women with a black man.
Yeah,
and I don't
a
even
disgusting
like to call
sight.
Them men, because they're not men.
Ew!
Yeah,
And I just think, you know, I want to come up to the woman and I want to grab her and I want to yell in her face that for thousands of years your ancestors fought wars and died and fought to remain racially pure, and here you are hooked up with a nigger and you're going to be a monkey maker here yourself any moment, and your ancestors would slaughter you if they saw what you were doing right now. They would kill you for what you're doing. And and that part of me realizes the master manipulating Jews have created this. Yes, the girl bears some blame. Her parents bear some blame. I deep down don't hate her for it. I realize our women are the most gullible women on the planet. They've been manipulated by beings that have had millennia of manipulation experience. They are the most deceptive creatures on the planet. Eve was deceived, not Adam. And, you know, yeah, I want to freak out on the woman, but ultimately I step back and realize our enemy has done this. An enemy has planted the tares in our field. And this is the fault of Jews.
Good.
And I preserve my hatred for Jews. I hate Jews. I dislike other races, but I hate Jews. I have a righteous hatred for them.
Amen.
And I long for the day when I can slaughter them righteously at the return of Yahshua Christ. Obadiah promises us that privilege. I look forward to it greatly. But yeah, race mixing has done nothing but bring a horror to our people, and never, ever, ever does it work out good, ever, not even one time.
Yes.
That's it.
And I know, Pastor Steve, we have about 3 minutes left. You have seen this in the prisons, haven't you, where the prisons try to integrate the population, but don't they just naturally segregate even in the prisons despite all of the attempts to force them to integrate?
Absolutely. The blacks move to the hood in the cell block. The Mexicans have their little barrio.
Jews.
The good old white. There are very few Jews in prison.
Oh, okay.
The good old white boys have their own little area, and then the mixed up, the wiggers and the queers and the mudbloods, all the mixed ones,
colored.
They have their own little tiny segments. I went in Forest City, Arkansas. It was about 75% white. It was the whitest prison I ever saw. And I was there for 8 years, and it went downhill, and I'd never heard of a child molester in prison because I was always in higher security institutions. So when I went to that low, by the time I left Forest City, they had moved in. The population was now 72 to 73% sex offenders.
Wow.
And a lot of them were blacks, open homosexuals. I would never set foot in the chapel because of the queer choirs. The Catholic Church was the worst for this. Open fags on the compound, boyfriends and girlfriends living together. Guys with breasts that had injections. They're wearing women's underwear and bras.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you see a lot of the blacks, one of these would walk by in their tight little prison outfits, and their eyes would follow them. And they'd say, wow, man. And I'd walk up and say, what in the hell are you looking at? Yeah. That's a man. He's got bigger equipment than what you've got.
Well, of course, you knew.
He will make you squeal, boy. Yeah, right. That's a man. That's not a woman.
Yeah, but
it looks mighty good.
Look good to me. Right.
You worthless coon.
He didn't care. Right.
But anyway, I'm free and I'm back. They did
praise
not break
Yahweh.
Me.
Praise Yahweh.
I did my time with dignity and with the most able assistance of Pastor Eli James, who supported me morally and helped me with books and research material so I could do the work of Yahweh, and told me all about EFR. And by golly, as soon as I came out, he picked me up from prison and took me to the halfway house, folks. He ain't talking the talk. He's walking the walk. So I don't want to hear anything bad about Eli James.
You'll
have me to deal with.
All right. Amen. All right. All right, brothers. Well, I just wanted to play that one clip because, as far as I know, no blacks have ever been charged with committing a hate crime against whites or any non-white, for that matter. And this is finally because this crime was so heinous and because it was broadcast live on Facebook. That was really stupid of them. But this shows how they don't care. They just don't care.
That's what they are.
Right. And our people need to wake up and realize that these other races are not the same as us. They cannot do the same thing. They cannot think the way we do. A final word from you, Pastor Greg, with about a minute left.
Well, brother, I enjoyed the show tonight with you and Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, I want to hear your story sometime when we get a chance to chat.
And we'll have a beer together.
Brother, we're just living in a fascinating time right now. The Jews are freaking out, and our people are waking up, and that's a good thing. So praise Yahweh, and may it continue.
Yes.
Well, I want to make one final announcement. This is going to be my last Yahweh's Covenant people for a while, because Greg was the one that helped initiate it with Eli. I'm stepping out, and I have taken over the Thursday night 9 p.m. slot because Pastor Mullet has left us, and my wake-up call sermon show is on there on Thursday nights at 9 p.m.
Yes, okay.
There you go.
Very good. And also, we ask your prayers for Pastor Mullet. He is ill. We are trying to help him diagnose his illness, and we're doing everything we can to help him get healthy again so he can come back, because we want to have a broad list and following of identity preachers here on Eurofolk Radio. And so we're all glad that Pastor Greg Howard is back here again with us. Welcome back, Greg. How are you feeling?
Hey,
how are you feeling?
Not bad. Fighting through a cold myself.
Oh, okay. So
sure is a pleasure meeting you, Greg.
All right.
Yeah, same to you, brother. We'll talk.
And we'll do this again. In the meantime, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. This has been Yahweh's Covenant People. And stick around. We've got more shows to come over the weekend, and we're here to serve you. Thank you for listening. Praise Yahweh. Good day.
Shalom aleichem.